Say, not equal are the evil and the good. Evil and good are not the same. They are very different. Praying salah and not praying salah, are they the same? Never. Fasting and not fasting, are they the same? No. Reciting the Qur'an, not reciting the Qur'an, are they the same? No. Sitting in a gathering where Allah is being remembered, where the angels are witnessing inshaAllah, and the angels are going to go and tell Allah, Ya Allah, this servant of yours wants your forgiveness, your Jannah, even though she hasn't seen it. Sitting in a gathering like that and not sitting in a gathering like that, are they the same? Because sometimes what happens, we even make the effort to go to a class like this, but then instead of sitting and benefiting, what do? We sit at the back sipping on tea. We sit at the back going through our phone. Who are we depriving? Who are we cheating? Who are we deceiving? Who are we playing with? Who are we harming? Who are we causing loss to? Only ourselves. We are only harming ourselves. Because the messenger's job was to convey. Now Allah knows what we are doing and what we are revealing. Allah tells us, bad and good are not the same. Evil and good are not the same. What is dirty and what is clean, they are not the same. And remember, what we do is what we choose. What we say is what we choose. What we wear is what we choose. So our choice, what is it that we are choosing to say? What is it that we are choosing to wear? What is it that we are choosing to do? That is what we will be questioned about. And Allah gives us a very important criteria over here. When you have to choose between two things, remember that good and bad are not the same. They are not the same. They are very, very different. So choose that which is good and leave that which is bad. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ Although the abundance of evil might impress you. Why? Why would it impress you? Because it's so common. Everybody's doing it. So fear Allah. O you people of understanding, if you really have some mind here, if you really use your mind, then fear Allah so that you may be successful. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, Allah is good. And He therefore accepts only that which is good. Allah is tayyib, and He accepts only that which is tayyib. So if we select a bad action to do, then is that going to be acceptable to Allah? No way. What is it that Allah will accept? Good. The Prophet ﷺ also said that when any one of you goes to sleep, the shaitan ties 3 knots at the back of his neck, sealing every knot with it. That you have a long night, so sleep. So if one wakes up and mentions Allah, a knot will be opened up. If he performs ablution, 2 knots are opened up. And if he prays, then all the knots are opened up. And in the morning, he will be active and in good spirits. Otherwise, he will be in bad spirits and sluggish in the morning. So one is a person who chose tayyib. I have to get up now. I have to do wudu now. I have to pray. So what happened? The result was good. And the other person selected khabees. What was that khabees? Night is long. Let me sleep. And then what happened? He will wake up in the state of khabatha also. In the state of that filth also. So Allah tells us, good and bad are not the same. Choose only that which is good. The Prophet ﷺ taught Ali radiallahu anhu a dua. And this dua is, Allahumma kfini bihalalika. Complete the dua. An haramika. Wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwaka. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik. That, O Allah, suffice me with your lawful against your unlawful. Meaning, O Allah, the lawful that you have given me, make that enough for me, even if it's a little. Make that enough for me. Make that sufficient for me. So that I have no need, I have no desire, no longing to go to that which is haram, to go to that which is filthy. And وَأَغْنِنِي بِفَضْلِكَ عَمَّنْ سِوَاكَ And enrich me with your grace from all others besides you. Meaning, grant me provision from your boundless treasures. And it is said, the Prophet ﷺ told Ali that if a person has a loan, even the size of a mountain, can you imagine a debt the size of a mountain? Even that will be given off. Even that will be paid off. Allah will help him pay that off if a person holds on to this dua. So whenever we are in this indecision, should I do this It's good. Or should I do this? It's bad. What should I do? Choose the good or choose the bad? Make dua. Ya Allah, make the good enough for me. Make the good enough for me. Lawful earning, lawful food, lawful relationships, lawful words. Because sometimes what happens? We are disciplining our children even, and we don't feel satisfied by telling them something only once in a nice way. We feel like we have to scream at them. We have to be mad at them. We have to yell at them. No. Oh Allah, You make the lawful sufficient for me, so that I have no need for anything evil. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, all you who have believed, do not ask about things which, if they are shown to you, will distress you. But if you ask about them while the Qur'an is being revealed, they will be shown to you. Allah has pardoned that which is past, and Allah is forgiving and forbearing. Again, one must be careful about his speech. Think before asking, because sometimes questions are good, but they're absolutely irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. A people ask such questions before you, then they became thereby disbelievers. They became, because of those questions, what? What? Disbelievers. Some words, some form of speech, it can take a person to kufr. Certain questioning, certain objections, they can take a person, they can lead him to kufr. Therefore, we have to be extra, extra careful about our tongue. What are we saying? What are we expressing? The anger that we're showing, what are we saying in that? Are we saying something that Allah would disapprove of? مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَحِيرَةٍ Allah has not appointed such innovations as Bahira, or Sa'iba, or Wasila, or Ham. These were certain animals that the mushrikeen of Makkah had declared sacred. So they would say, nobody can ride it, nobody can eat it. Allah says, but those who disbelieve invent falsehood about Allah. And most of them do not reason. When they have such superstitious beliefs, what does it show? That they're not using their reason. And when it is said to them, come to what Allah has revealed and to the Messenger, they say, sufficient for us is that upon which we found our forefathers. Allah says, even though their fathers knew nothing, nor were they guided, why would they blindly follow them? O you who have believed, upon you is responsibility for yourselves. You are responsible for who? For yourself. Those who have gone astray will not harm you when you have been guided. This does not mean that we should not tell other people, we should not be concerned about them. No, we should be concerned about them, but our only worry and concern should not just be the faults and mistakes and errors of other people. No, we should be even more concerned about who? Ourselves. This is a human weakness, a very big weakness indeed. That when it comes to other people's faults, we can see them very easily, very clearly. But when it comes to our own faults, what happens? We don't even notice them. Allah says, to Allah is your return altogether. Then He will inform you of what you used to do. He will inform you of what you used to do. You will not be questioned about what other people did. Why? Because for them are their deeds, and for you are your deeds. So what is it that we need to be concerned about? Our actions, ourselves, our heart, our intentions, our speech. And the thing is that when a person rectifies his akhlaq, when a person strengthens his iman, when a person improves his relationships, or his akhlaq, his actions are strong, only then can he tell other people. And only then will his words have any impact. O you who have believed, testimony should be taken among you when death approaches one of you at the time of bequest. That of two just men from among you, or two others from outside, if you are traveling through the land, and the disaster of death should strike you. Detain them after the prayer, and let them both swear by Allah, if you doubt their testimony, saying, we will not exchange our oath for a price, even if he should be a near relative, and we will not withhold the testimony of Allah. Indeed, we would then be of the sinful. But if it is found that those two were guilty of perjury, let two others stand in their place who are foremost in claim from those who have a lawful right, and let them swear by Allah, our testimony is truer than their testimony, and we have not transgressed. Indeed, we would then be of the wrongdoers. That is more likely that they will give testimony according to its true objective, or at least they would fear that other oaths might be taken after their oaths, and fear Allah and listen. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْمَعُوا وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. In these ayat basically, a certain situation has been explained. That if a person is traveling and he has a significant amount of wealth with him and he doesn't have any relative or any heir with him, then what should he do? He is at the verge of dying, so what should he do? He should entrust his property with the will to who? To two people. And those two people, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to hand it over to the family. Now if they end up cheating, then what will happen? It is mentioned over here that basically both will be brought before the judge and both will have to swear oaths. And the details of this we don't really need to go into right now. But the lesson we learned here is that Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْمَعُوا. Fear Allah when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with other people's properties. When trusts are given to you, when amanat are given to you. And listen, listen attentively. Why listen attentively? Because if we have not heard properly what is to be done with someone's property, what are we going to say? What message are we going to convey? Think about it. Sometimes we are assigned a task. We are assigned a task. Instructions are given. But what do we do at that time? We don't listen. When we don't listen properly, we half understand, we misunderstand, then what is it that we relay? What is it that we pass on? What is it that we act upon if we have not even heard properly? So the first step to guidance is fear of Allah. The second is isma'u. Open up your ears, open up your eyes, listen, pay attention, focus, see what is necessary. And those who don't bother, then Allah does not guide them. And with this we begin the conclusion of Suratul Ma'idah. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلَ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ قَالُوا لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. Be warned of the day when Allah will assemble the messengers. Allah will assemble all of the prophets also on the Day of Judgment. And He will say, what was the response you received when you conveyed? What was the response that you received from the people? They will say, we have no knowledge. قَالُوا لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا. We have no knowledge. Indeed, it is you who is knower of the unseen. The day when Allah will say, O Isa, son of Maryam, remember my favor upon you and upon your mother when I supported you with the pure spirit and you spoke to the people in the cradle and in maturity. And remember when I taught you writing and wisdom and the Torah and the gospel, and when you designed from clay what was like the form of a bird with my permission. Then you breathed into it and it became a bird with my permission. And you healed the blind and the leper with my permission. And when you brought forth the dead with my permission, and when I restrained the children of Israel from killing you, when you came to them with clear proofs, and those who disbelieved among them said, this is not but obvious magic. And remember when I inspired to the disciples, believe in me and in my messenger, Isa. They said, we have believed. قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّنَا مُسْلِمُونَ. So bear witness that indeed we are Muslims. We are those who surrender to Allah. A scene of the Day of Judgment is described over here. What is that scene? Allah will question who? Who will He ask? The prophets. And amongst them, who is mentioned over here? Isa alayhi salam will be questioned. And before he's asked a question, the question has not yet come. Before that, what has been mentioned here? What is it that Allah will ask Isa alayhi salam? Remember my favors upon you. Remember the blessings that I gave to you. Allah will remind Isa alayhi salam. He will make him recount the blessings that He gave him in worldly life. If a messenger of Allah is being reminded of the blessings that Allah gave to him, then what about us? Out of all people, who do you think is most deserving of worldly blessings? Who? out of all people. It is the righteous, isn't it? It is those who are obedient to Allah. And amongst them, at the highest level are who? The prophets of Allah. They are most deserving. Yet, if Isa a.s. will be asked, remember when I gave you this favor, and this favor, and this favor. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ We too will be questioned about the blessings that Allah has given to us here to enjoy. He will ask us about the knowledge that we are learning, about the food that we are enjoying, about the comfortable houses that we are living in, about the relationships that Allah has blessed us with, about the beautiful children, about the money that He has given us. إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ And Allah will remind Isa a.s. particularly of one incident. And that is, and recall when the disciples said, O Isa, son of Maryam, can your Lord send down to us a table spread with food from the sky? Isa a.s. said, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear Allah if you should be believers. What kind of a request are you making? Remember earlier, we learned that some people went astray. Why? Because of the questions they asked. One question is, what does this mean? And why is it like that? Another kind of question is, a request, a demand. So here we see, the people of Isa a.s., the disciples, what did they say? Can your Lord send down on us a table spread with food from the sky? What was Isa a.s.'s response? Fear Allah if you should be believers. They said, we wish to eat from it, and let our hearts be reassured, and know that you have been truthful to us, and we want to be among its witnesses. Meaning we have very good intentions. We don't mean to criticize, we don't mean to demand anything from you so that you prove your truthfulness to us. We already believe in you. We have very good, sincere intentions. All we want is to celebrate, enjoy some good food. قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ So Isa a.s., the son of Maryam, he made dua, O Allah, our Lord, send down to us a table spread with food from the sky, to be for us a festival for the first of us and the last of us. Send down this food so that the day it comes, we can take that day as a day of celebration. We will celebrate that day, and the people later also will celebrate on that day. And we will also take it as a sign from you, a miracle, a special gift, and provide for us, and you are the best of providers. Allah said, Indeed, I will send it down to you, but whoever disbelieves afterwards from among you, then indeed, I will punish him with a punishment by which I have not punished anyone among the worlds. Why? Because those people who are blessed with more blessings, then they have a heavier obligation also. Those people who are blessed with greater blessings, bigger blessings, more blessings, especially the blessing of hidayah, some special gifts that come from Allah, then they have a heavier obligation. And therefore, the hisab will also be greater and tougher. The hisab will be greater also. For who? For those who have been blessed more. This is why we see that on the Day of Judgment, people who will be tortured severely in the earth, but they were patient. And on the Day of Judgment, when the rest of mankind will see the high levels of reward, the easy hisab that they're getting, the rest of the people will wish that they had been tortured even more severely in the life of the world. Why? Because they will see that those who had less blessings, their hisab is easier. And especially when it comes to the blessing of knowledge. When it comes to the blessing of hidayah, of nur from Allah, then remember that the hisab is greater and more difficult. We see that the Bani Israel were already blessed with food, weren't they? They had food already. But here, they wanted some heavenly food. For what? For some good reasons. However, Allah clarified that if you disbelieve after this, then the punishment will also be very severe. So the one who has ilm, the one who has knowledge of guidance, then if he does wrong, then the punishment is greater. And beware the day when Allah will say, O Isa, son of Maryam, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as gods besides Allah? Now this is the question. After all the reminding of the blessings, now Allah will ask Isa alayhi salam, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as deities besides Allah? Isa will say, exalted are you. It was not for me to say that of which I have no right. If I had said it, you would have known it. You know what is within myself, and I do not know what is within yourself. Indeed, it is you who is knower of the unseen. مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ I said not to them except what you commanded me. Meaning, Ya Allah, I only told people to do what you told me to convey to them. I only conveyed the message. And what was that? To worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness over them as long as I was among them. But when you took me up, you raised me when he was taken away, then you were the observer over them. I could not see them anymore, but Ya Allah, you saw them. And you are over all things a witness. Isa a.s. will completely dissociate himself from the people. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ If you should punish them, then O Allah, indeed they are your servants. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ But if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ Then indeed it is you who is the exalted in might, the wise. Isa a.s. will say, O Allah, do as you please with your servants. If you wish, you forgive them. If you wish, you punish them. Because ultimately they are your servants. The Prophet ﷺ, one day he recited an ayah. The ayah that tells us about the dua of Ibrahim ﷺ. That فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ That, O Allah, whoever follows me of my people, then indeed he is of me. But whoever disobeys me, then O Allah, you are forgiving and merciful. Meaning, I don't have any request to make for them, except to say that you are forgiving and merciful, they are your servants, you decide what you want to do with them. We see that Ibrahim a.s. also, what did he do? He kind of dissociated himself from his people. Which people? The people who did wrong. And he was justified in doing that. Because it's not his responsibility once the people have disobeyed him. His duty was just to convey. And he conveyed. If the people disbelieved, if they went astray, it was their fault. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayah about Isa a.s. that he will say, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكْ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ And the Prophet ﷺ, when he read this, he raised his hands and he said, O Lord, my ummah, my ummah. O Lord, ummati, ummati, what will happen to my ummah? And the Prophet ﷺ wept. He cried. So much so that Allah said to Jibreel, O Jibreel, go to Muhammad ﷺ and ask him, what makes you cry? Even though Allah knows, he knew from before why the Prophet ﷺ was crying at that time. But he sent Jibreel to ask the Prophet ﷺ, what is it that makes you cry? And when Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, the Prophet ﷺ said, that it's my ummah. I'm afraid for my ummah. I don't want them to be punished. Upon this, Allah said, O Jibreel, go to Muhammad and say, verily, we will please you with regard to your ummah. And would not displease you. Hadith Sahih, Sahih Muslim. We will please you with regard to your ummah and we will not displease you. The Prophet ﷺ, he was most concerned for people. Not just the people of his time, but his entire ummah. And his ummah includes all the people that will come until the day of judgment. What is his concern? That after me, will they remain firm or will they go astray? What will happen to them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will not disappoint you with regards to your ummah. We will make you happy. That is Allah's promise. Now the question is, what are we doing? Are we such believers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Such followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he will see us, he will be proud? He will be happy? Or are we those people who will bring him disappointment? What this shows to us, this ayah and this hadith, what they show to us is the love that the Prophet ﷺ had for his ummah. The love, the concern that he had for people in general. Not just his family, but every single person of his ummah. Because he was sent as a mercy to who? To the worlds. It is because of Allah's mercy that he was sent. And he came as a merciful servant also. Rahim. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was merciful to the people. He was kind towards them. And this was his mercy. And this is something that we also need to think about. That when Allah has blessed us, even with some knowledge of the deen, even with some understanding of the deen, then what is our level of concern for people? What is our level of concern for people who are coming to learn the deen of Allah? That if people are coming, if people want to study, if people want to learn, then what am I doing to assist them? Am I doing my part to help them? Or am I falling short in my duty? That I have taken on a responsibility, yet, I am not helping people the way I should be helping. I do not make dua for them. I do not help them. I do not encourage them. I do not motivate them. This is whose fault? Our fault. And this is something that we need to really question ourselves about. The Prophet ﷺ was most sincere. قَالَ اللَّهُ Allah will say, هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدِقُهُمْ This is the day when the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. For them are gardens in paradise beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever. Allah being pleased with them, and they with Him. That is the great attainment. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا فِيهِنْ To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is within them. And He is over all things competent. With this, we begin Suratul An'am. You may stand up as we listen to the recitation.